This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866- Four Seasons.
Welcome back, guys. DG, Ass on Camo X, 405. Weird week because we no longer have 98.7 FM. That is now Hot 98, hip-hop. 104.1 is also playing hip-hop because that's what it was. That's going to change Monday at midnight when they flip the switch and we go to 104.1 FM. Until then, we just all have to make do. You can listen on the Odyssey app and it sounds great. You can listen to 102.5 KZK HD and it sounds great. But we also have some lineup changes coming up. Amy and Chris rolled those out earlier today. Here's what I know. You guys correct me where I go askew. So Total Information AM with Debbie and Tom and Megan is going to be on until 9 a.m.
Yep.
At 9 a.m., Amy and Chris take over. They'll go 9 to noon. At noon, we have the Gas House Gang, which will be hosted every day by Chris Ranji. And then mixed in there is going to be Tom Ackerman, Bernie Miklas, Klaibs,
yep.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
You and Pauly,
occasionally,
sparingly.
Yeah, it'll just depend on the day and the scheduling. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
And then DGS goes from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Yep.
And nothing changes with the DGS except that we are sprucing it up. It's going to be more active. It's going to be more guests. It's going to be more benchmarks. Little less Lazy River, but still, it's my show, so it's going to be Lazy River. And then tell us about 5 p.m.
So 5 o'clock hour, Redbird Rush Hour, which is going to be kind of our lead into Cardinals pregame on most days, or it'll be the lead into Sports Open Line, or maybe, you know, on the afternoon games, it'll follow the Cardinals game, so it'll be like an extension of the post game show. So I'll be on that every day, but so will Matt Pauly. Matt will be there depending upon, you know, he'll be there, but it'll be his timing and all that'll depend on what's going on. So most days he'll be joining me from the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Cardinals are on the road, we'll both be here in studio doing it. But Bernie's going to be on that show with us in the five o'clock hour doing that. We're going to have some other people too. We're not exactly sure how all the rest of it is going to play out. But Matt and I every day leading into Sports Open Line and Bernie joining us at least a couple times a week. But we'll mix in some of the other guys too. Just depends on, you know, what the week looks like and, you know, where it goes.
Yeah.
So Yeah, basically, it's going to be extended baseball coverage in the 5 o'clock hour.
Then starting next week, we get to have Ricky Horton back on twice a week. So that's cool. I can finally relax.
Starts on Tuesday.
You got to get that
Things
settled.
Things are fine. Everything's fine. Yeah. He's not mad at you. You he didn't break up. It's all good. He loves you. You love him. You're a great couple.
Yeah.
Let's talk some Cardinals now. Can you share the tweet about Victor Scott? I thought that was great.
Which one?
The one where the guy said, if I was Victor Scott.
Okay, yeah. So, look, there's a lot of buzz about Victor Scott in spring training, and it's good buzz because he's been great. He's done everything that you could ask a young player to do when they had things to get better at, right? He hit another home run today. It's his third home run of the spring. He's been hitting the ball hard regularly. He's improved his routes defensively. He's obviously stealing bases when he gets the opportunity to do it. That's never really been a question. So he's a big topic because the people that are down there, people like Derek Gould and Katie Wu and Tom Ackerman, they're getting the vibe that he may still not make the team. And that the idea is not that Siani's going to be the center fielder. He seems to have lost that. Siani has, because he hasn't hit at all and he didn't hit last year. So really it's just an extension of last year. But the idea would be they want to play for some more offense because the team finished in the bottom 10 in offense last year. So the way to get more offense is Newt Barr in center, Donovan in left, Gorman at second, and then Burleson gets to DH. So if Scott's there under the current setup, that means you're basically putting Burleson on the bench instead of starting him. And that's a bat that they want in there. I don't know that it would be my choice. I think my choice would be Victor Scott in center field, and then Burleson is basically a somewhat regular bench guy where he plays a good bit. Like he'll play when Contreras needs a day off, when Gorman gets a day off, when Donovan gets a day off, because everybody's going to get days off pretty regularly. So that's my play would be that. But it isn't crazy to do it the way that this is being discussed. The only thing that's crazy is if Siani's going to play in center field every day or a lot.
Burley is one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
As a player and as a guy, I don't want to see him go. But would he be marketable if we dealt him now?
100%. He would have a lot of value. Now, they're not going to do that.
Right.
They like Burleson a lot. I mean, they think highly of him, and they think he's got a chance to be better than he's been. I'm not sure he's going to be much better than he's been, but he is a good hitter anyway, right? Yeah. I mean, like, he's a good quality hitter, but he would have a lot of value because he's cheap. He's under team control for another 4 or 5 years. And he plays first base and outfield. So another team could look at that and say, man, we need a left-handed bat. That guy could start for us right now, and he can either play left or right or first or DH, and you could probably get something decent for him. And this is kind of funny because we've been texting about this, Bernie and Matt Pauly and Tom and I. We've been all texting about this afternoon. It's like the Cardinals seem to always be in this position where it's just really hard to just put your best lineup out there because there's always extra.
True.
There's always a guy that you don't want to bury or a guy that you don't want to send down. And you might have to trade away somebody to clear that up or just wait for an injury, right? I mean, like, if Lars Nootbaar gets hurt in April, well, there you go. Victor Scott's in center. Everything else falls into place. That's what the team wants. The team wants to keep it so that if there's an injury, they have depth. They have people to cover and that they're happy about. So if you trade Burleson, you have one less certainty if someone else goes down. And you could say that could be Matt Kupierniak, who
I love.
Yes, he's had a good spring. He was really good at Memphis last year. He was really good in Springfield the year before that. He's a really good player, but he's untested at the major league level.
I haven't heard my boy said JC's name in a while.
No, he got sent down, but it wasn't. It's just simply that, think about this. There's already too many people. And the Cardinals are usually very clear, which is, by the way, why the discussion about Scott is not part-time player in the big leagues or not. It's he's either playing every day in the big leagues or he's playing every day in the minors. They do not want him in a part-time role.
People are going to kind of go crazy if they send them down, though, right?
I think so. I think people are going to have a valid point. And Bernie brings this up a lot, and he's right. When you position something as a competition and then one person outperforms the others and then they don't get the job, it's a weird look. What they're talking about is totally sensible, what the way I laid it out, to make sure you want Burleson and Gorman and all these guys in there. But obviously, you know, people right now are sour on Gorman because of the way last year ended. But people have to remember that, A, he's barely older than Victor Scott. He's only like 8 months older than Victor Scott. And he's already been in the big leagues for over 300 games. He's already had a 27 home run season. And as for his career, he's been above an above average player. He had about 30 games last year where he sucked. Like, that's what it is. He was terrible, which is why he had to go down. But it's not all of a player. And then the part that gets lost, and this is where I cannot emphasize this enough. I love Victor Scott. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he's your long-term leadoff hitter. I think he's your long-term center fielder. But do you remember how outmatched he was 1 year ago in the major leagues? Because as bad as you think Gorman was, Scott was way worse. He was striking out almost 30% of the time, and he had a .179 with no power. And then he went to Memphis, and he hit .210. 3 or 4 good weeks in spring training, sometimes facing minor league pitchers, doesn't prove that you're over that, right? It's just at this point, it's all Victor Scott can do, right? All he can do is what's in front of him, and he's doing it. He's producing. He's made changes. He's hitting the ball hard. None of that is invalid. But he still has way more negativity to overcome than Nolan Gorman does, because Nolan Gorman has a lot of success already in the major leagues too. And I'm always fascinated by how fast we forget those things. Like, we're always fascinated by the shiny new toy and the exciting guy that's not what we saw fail last year. But you did watch Scott fail last year. You watched him hit a .179 for 2 months or a month and a half, whatever it was. And then he went to Memphis and he struggled there. But he did look good at the end of last season. Like in September, yeah. Scott came back up and he looked okay. But the problem that with communicating these things to fans is probably partly the bad messaging from the team. Don't position something as a competition if it's not.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's more to these things than just this guy played better in spring training. Like, there's all of this other history that goes into it.
You know what else we forget? What a magician Arenado is at third base.
Dude, you know, for as much as his bat's been a problem and we're talking about that and they need him to hit better, every day, man. He made a play today, charging the ball bare hand.
Brooks Robinson.
I mean, yeah, it's what you're seeing there is something that only a very small fan bases have seen. People in Baltimore saw Brooks Robinson do that. People in Philadelphia saw Mike Schmidt do that. People here, we got to see Scott Rolen do that.
Yeah.
But I think Arenado is probably a little better than Rolen. Not much. They're at the same peak. Like, you know, they're amongst the best of the best. But there's only like 5 guys in the game that play third base the way he does in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Forget now. There's only one other guy in the league now that's even comparable to him, and that's Chapman, who plays for San Francisco. Matt Chapman's pretty good.
And we're talking about a 6-man rotation possibly?
Well, I mean, it's at least being kicked around. We haven't had any follow-up on it since Ollie brought it up the other day, because some of it probably has to do with their bullpen decisions too, right? If they decide to go 6-man rotation, that means one of the relievers that is in competition is going back down to Memphis, which isn't a problem, but they just have to make that decision. But there's some buzz about it with going with the 5 that we know, right? I mean, we know that Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty and Andre Pallante and Michaelis and Matz, we know that those are the 5. And by the way, based on spring, you know, all these people that want to love on Victor Scott for the spring, none of them want to show that love to Miles Michaelis or Steven Matz, who have been good this spring. Now, you know how I feel.
I do.
Spring numbers don't mean anything. Yeah. Like, they only tell us part of the story. So I'm not going to celebrate because Miles Michaelis looks good in the spring. He looked good in the spring last year. Then he stunk in the regular season. But those guys haven't done anything to lose their position. And McGreevy's been great. So he's done enough to make the case to be here. So in a way of doing this, kicking around a 6-man rotation makes sense in that you can rest Sonny more. Because, look, Sonny's mid-30s now. Do you want him to have bullets left for the postseason if you happen to be good enough to do that? Because if he's burning out in September, not a great thing. You know, Fetty hasn't really been a major league starter for very long. You know, last year was his first year back from overseas. You know, Michaelis is 36, 37. Matz is always hurt. There may be a way to get the most out of all of those guys by building in a little bit more rest. I would advise not doing it early, though. If they were listening to me, I would be telling them, don't go to the 6-man until you're maybe into May, because they have so many off days the first couple of weeks, it's just going to jack everything up.
So the way I like Burleson, the flip side of that coin is how I dislike Flaherty. I just don't like his handsome face.
Who?
Flaherty. Do you think we made a mistake in hindsight dealing him?
Oh, and Jack Flaherty?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. At the time, it made sense to move on, and he stunk in Baltimore the rest of that year. But then at the time, you had to do it. You knew he was getting more expensive in arbitration. You knew he was coming up on free agency. And look, he's not been getting he had a big year last year, largely with Detroit, but then he won the World Series with the Dodgers, and he's back in Detroit now, but he only got like a 2-year deal. You know, I think it's 1 year with an option. So it's not like he landed some big deal because teams do have questions about him. What I would have liked to have seen is them maybe figure some of that stuff out with him that got figured out in Detroit, because they'd figured, and maybe it's just health, because he had a lot of shoulder problems when he was here. So maybe it's just that. But boy, he looks like a different guy when he's pitched for the Tigers. His velo ticked up 3 miles an hour. You know, he's striking way more people out. His slider is sharper. And again, that could just be the product of health, because when he was healthy here in 2019, he was a Cy Young candidate. Yeah. So
424 DGS on KMOX. Got a quick razor's edge in you?
I do. I wanted to talk to you guys. I know we just talked about sports, but here's some more sports for you. The new Tennis Players Association, the Professional Tennis Players Association, just formed. It's led by Novak Djokovic, and they are basically taking legal action against the Association of Tennis Professionals, the Women's Tennis Association, the International Tennis Association, and the International Tennis Integrity Agency, and say they're operating as a cartel. And this is because... you know, they feel like players don't get enough prize money. They say the ranking system is messed up. The schedule is crazy. I mean, a lot of these people tour for 11 months out of the year.
So they don't have a union now?
It doesn't seem like they have a union. Apparently, if you are suspected of like doping or something in tennis, they will take you and interrogate you without any representation. So this is a huge problem, too. But the thing I thought was most interesting was the fact that in most other sports, your players get about 50% of the revenue, like 35-50% of the total revenue. Tennis players are only paid 17% of revenues. So there's all this money on the table that tennis is just like not sharing with their players. Some other things that are crazy is that if you're a tennis player and you don't win, you don't get paid.
Wow.
Which it's like, I saw a video of a girl talking about this the other day, and she was like, imagine if the Knicks like lost and they just didn't get paid that week. Like, it's not apples to apples, but it is just kind of crazy. They say this isn't just about money. It's about fairness, safety, and basic human dignity. Even fortunate players, like well-known players, say, you know, I've had to sleep in my car. I've had to travel without my coach because I can't afford to bring my coach with me. So it just feels like a big old mess.
I didn't know any of that.
Just comparing that to other sports, it is really,
I would have assumed, since it's kind of a country club sport, I would have assumed that they would have been one of the first to unionize and have good deals.
You would think.
And I think at first, maybe it was kept this way where it's like, yeah, the people with money are going to be the people who succeed. And it still is the case now where it's like, well, a player I really, really like is Emma Navarro. Like, she is great. But at first, I didn't like her because her dad's a billionaire. And I'm like,
I remember that.
She sucks. But I mean, she's such a good player. She's completely transcended that for me. But the fact of the matter is, she's able to devote her entire life to this one thing because she has all that money behind her. There are so many talented players that just don't have the resources to do what she's able to do. So it's just kind of crazy. I mean, 17% versus like 35-50% for the NFL, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, and it's weird because you don't get big crowds for tennis. You're not packing 40,000 people in.
No, not like that.
So I wonder where the money comes from.
Oh, it's TV. And it's worldwide. Keep that in mind, right?
Yeah.
Like all of the tour events, especially the majors, those are worldwide events. Those are not being watched. I mean, it's like soccer in that way. Like, it's a sport followed by literally every continent.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting TV rights from all of those places.
Yeah. 437.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DGS, the wind should be kind of peaking out there right about now and then get a little less overnight. I'm honestly, like, 83 was cute yesterday, and I know spring comes tonight at 4:01 a.m., but I'm not ready for the cold weather to go away.
I am.
Not me. I like it.
Just don't come back next Thursday.
Yeah.
We don't need a cold opening. Now, it's less of a big deal for kegs and eggs if you're coming out because we're indoors, so we don't have to worry about that. But nobody wants cold opening day.
No.
Phone says 65.
On Thursday?
Next Thursday.
Let's go phone.
Perfect. Are you guys familiar with the kerfuffle about sleepovers these days?
No.
I've heard that a lot of people don't want their kids to sleep over at anyone else's house because they don't trust the other parents.
Yes.
What the hell?
When Phoebe was little, she had one friend whose dad was a good friend of mine. Kind of an out there guy, very extreme, extremely religious, extremely conservative, but extreme. And he was like, yep, she'll never spend the night at your house. I love you. I don't trust you. I don't trust anyone. She'll never, ever be without us. Okay. So it kind of hurt my feelings, but all right. So Phoebe had lots of sleepovers. She went to lots of sleepovers. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, it was incident free and had a great time. I used to do sleepovers with my pals. Some of my very best memories, just talking about when Brad and I used to run the streets at 3 a.m.
Yep.
But yeah, these days, it's sort of like how Wheels and I got to run all day with our parents having no idea where we were.
Yep.
Our kids did not, because we now knew that there were people out there grabbing kids. And people are just terrified that men can't be trusted, that you never know when someone's brother-in-law or cousin Stinky is going to show up and do something untoward to one of the girls. And even beyond that, I was watching a special about this last night, a special feature anyway, that they're worried about the girls bullying each other. And so, as we all know from sleepovers, the very nature of it is, okay, you girls go to bed. We'll see you in the morning for donuts. That they just don't like the fact that it's so unsupervised.
So based on the logic that people are applying here, because this is entirely parents blowing something out of proportion, it is what it is. Because my kid's not that old, and it wasn't that long ago. It was like, as long as you knew the parents and that a parent was going to be home, it was fine, right? If you were going to be like, I'm going to stay at somebody's house and we've never heard of this person before, all right, we got questions, right? Let's figure this out, because we're not going to just say, okay, I said something like that. But like the logic that, well, you never know, something could happen. Well, then you should never leave your house, because you could get T-boned in the intersection. All kinds of terrible things can happen to you by leaving the house. Glad so just don't T-bone. Leave the house. Right?
Mm.
I mean, like, what are you teaching your kids? You're teaching your kids that the entire world is out to get them. So what do you think they're going to be like when they get to be adults?
Mm.
Or when they have to start facing the world and they're like, oh, my God, I'm afraid of everything. Like, how was it okay in our lifetimes to be like, Dave, we were free-range kids.
100%.
Just ran around all day. Mom, I'll be home for dinner. All right. Be safe. Call me if you need anything, and you'll have to go find a phone somewhere to do it. How do we go from that? And we all were, I mean, like, again, I know terrible things happen, but terrible things aren't happening at a greater frequency now than they did 30 years ago. They're just not.
That's what the statistics bear out, that it's not.
It feels like it. Because every time something terrible happens, it's all over TV and it's all over your phone. So you're seeing it. You're being punched in the face with it. But that doesn't mean you can't process the data, the actual number of incidences. And by the way, as we all know,
the vast majority of those things we're all worried about happen with people you know within your family.
Yeah.
The vast majority. So I'm not saying don't be cautious. Of course be cautious. But if your message to your kid is, I don't trust anyone, even my friend, what in the world is that?
I mean, Wheels is making some really good points. That being said, I do see the side of a parent. If, like the story maybe last year where the dad made everybody a smoothie and the smoothie ended up having drugs in them. And one little girl didn't like her smoothie and she was able to wake up and realize like, oh, this guy is up to no good. If I were a parent and I heard that story, that is going to give me pause before I allow them to sleep at someone else's house. But like I said, Wheels just made a ton of great points. And this does seem like a safer time than ever to let your child go because you do have the cell phone.
Yes.
Like, honey, if you feel uncomfortable at all, you text me and I will be there in 10 minutes. You know, so I see both sides on this one. I really do. I'm really struck by him saying, like, you don't want to raise your kids to be scared of everything, because that's a really difficult thing to overcome. If you are raised believing everyone is out to get you or against you, that is really difficult.
And again,
it's
one thing to say I don't trust strangers.
Yes.
Versus people that I know and people that I've met and your friend's parents. If you're going to tell every kid your friend's parents are not trustworthy, what kind of message is that?
Yeah. So let's say, Rach, that instead of your nieces being your nieces, they were your daughters. Mm-hmm. How would you feel about hosting a sleepover from the standpoint of responsibility?
I mean, I would feel fine about it. I've had my nieces over to sleep at my apartment before, and I took it very, very seriously. It's like, we're gonna have fun, but we're also gonna be safe. And like, for instance, like my niece Catherine, I'm not biologically related to her in any way. And she's slept over at my place before. And I always just wanted to be like, I'm never going to put her in a position where she feels uncomfortable in any way, you know? So like having that at top of mind, I don't think that's something that's insurmountable. I think if, you know, struggling to make someone feel comfortable is like difficult for you, then maybe you shouldn't host a sleepover. I would just say I would want to be supervising more than maybe some parents do because of the bullying thing. Like if it was like, oh, 8 girls are going to be over here, I would not be the type to be like, all right, have fun in the basement. Like, it's like, no, mom's going to come down and see what you're doing like every hour. And I might come down and, you know, if I wake up at 3:00 in the morning, I might poke my head down there and make sure everything's okay.
Dave, were you guys ever the host?
No.
For those things? Really?
No. Oh, no. With Phoebe? Yes.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah,
I thought you meant like with Jack and Francis.
No. No, like you and Phoebe. Yes. Yeah, same with us. We had, I mean, her friends were over all the time and she was over their houses all the time. And you know, when they're younger, you have to supervise more. I mean, like, but that's true for everything, right? You take your kid to the park. When they're 8, you got to watch them more. When they're 13, you can kind of let them go.
Yeah.
The last sleepover that I remember was when Moses was a puppy.
Oh, boy.
And all the girls were sleeping in the basement and Moses snuck down, ate a whole pizza, pooped on one girl, and threw up on another.
Oh, no.
Good boy.
No, wait, that was Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't go so great.
I mean, you cannot say that anything is ever just 100% safe all the time.
No.
Unless you're in the room, right? Yeah. Like, and you know you're not going to do the terrible thing. But that, like, the whole world relies on trust between human beings. And if you want to understand why the world's getting as weird as it's getting, it's this mentality. Nobody trusts the person across the street from them. You don't trust your neighbor. You don't trust your kid's friend's parents. You don't trust your good friends.
Yeah.
If you don't trust people you know, how's this all going to work? Because we're supposed to live together. We have to have some trust.
But I think you're right, Wheels. But like you had also brought up, a lot of times this stuff happens from your most trusted people in
your life. At Thanksgiving. At your house,
yeah. And that's why you have to have conversation with your kids that are like, hey, if someone ever makes you feel uncomfortable and they say for you to not tell me, I'm going to be mad, going to be mad. You need to come to me.
In a related thing, when I was a kid, you were always kissing some stinky grandma with too much lipstick. You know, give me a kiss. And if you said no, it'd be like, you give her a kiss, you little piece of crap.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think of that?
If I have children, I'm not going to make them do
that. No, I'm not a big fan of forced affection either.
Like, if the kid's like, eh, then that's fine. It's okay. It just ain't. Grandma is a kid, you know? He's just being goofy.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. I think adults should be able to be the ones that process it and handle it rather than forcing that responsibility on the kid to be the one that's got to suck it up.
Yeah.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight. Yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the universe studies at AlmaSed.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.